morning. It's good to see you. Congratulations, so many of you, on being here as early as you were and coming in at the end of the practice. It's good to see everyone, and worship starts quite early. It starts at 9 o'clock when we come down to practice and then carries on throughout the morning, so it's a good thing. I'd like to pray first of all, and then we'll read a few verses and go into a time of worship. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the message that you have given Ricky, and Lord, that we hear from you all about your grace. Lord, we thank you that you don't hold us to ransom any longer. That ransom has been paid. And Father, we thank you that we can come to you and be forgiven and be accepted no matter what we've done. And that is your grace flowing out to us. So Lord, we pray that we would worship you and lay in your presence, Lord, as we rest by those quiet waters. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence and be with you, and that you sit close to us. You don't hold us off at arm's length. Father God, we pray that we would worship and adore you this morning. Amen. So just a few verses, some starts familiar, from Romans 3. And it tells of the great message of really starting Romans 3, verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Why did he do it? He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So it needed to be punished, but God, in his wonderful love, presented Jesus Christ as the sacrifice. So let's join and worship together, and we are going to praise God for the things that he gives to us and the things that he blesses us with. Let's stand if you're able, and we're going to bless his name. Blessed be your name.
Yeah.
times we might fail and need to look to God for help. And this is what our next song says. And we just have to answer his call. You call me out upon the waters.
Thank you.
Let's praise God with our voices around the room. Just short prayers of praise to his name. Father, we want to tell you how wonderful, so wonderful you are, how powerful and amazing you are. You fill the universe. Lord, we ask that you would hear our songs and our praise, and they would be a blessing to you, that we would be joining with all heaven and all creation, praising your wonderful name. Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love.
Thank you.
your seats if you don't mind. God is blessing us this morning. I need a slurp of my water, but there we go. So, we have been blessed indeed this morning, and we will continue and pray and praise him as we go through. But the children will be going out to their groups in a moment. So I need to check around and see if anyone has a birthday at the beginning of the year. Has anyone had a birthday in the last few days or the next few days? Oh, there's a hand going up there. Do you want to come down to the birthday box or not? No. No. An adult birthday. Any children or any of the young people wanting to confess? No early in the year birthdays. Well, let's pray for our children and young people. I can't tell you how much it blesses me when I see how many people leave at this point. It seems a strange thing to say, but it is so wonderful to have you with us for the first part of the service and to know that you are a part of the great big family that's here. So we will pray for you as you go through to your groups and pray that your different groups are a blessing to you. Father, we do thank you. Lord, we don't take it for granted that we have children and younger people here. Lord, we thank you for all of those who give up their time to lead the groups, the different things that happen through the week and on a Sunday morning. And Lord, we pray that you would bless them this morning, that as they look at different topics and have teaching that is specifically for them, Father, we ask that you would open their eyes. Lord, we just sung that we want to open our eyes and see you afresh and anew. And it doesn't matter whether we're 1 or 91, Lord, that should be our prayer every day. So Lord, be blessing these children and young people. And Lord, let them know how grateful and appreciative we are to have them as part of our great big family. Lord, we ask that you would be with them now and with those who lead and teach and assist in all of the groups. Thank you for their time too. Amen. So please do go through to your groups. We're going to remain seated just to let you get past and return to the song we started with, Beautiful Lord, the Potter's Hand. Thank you. Father, we come into your presence and we bring you the things that are on our hearts now. And Lord, we know there are so many things that we should be praying about. Father, we pray about the world situation. Lord, we pray about the different countries that are making war upon each other. And Lord, for revolution and change that is taking place in so many places. Lord, we ask that your hand would be in the outcomes. And Lord, we pray for those who are caught up in that. Father, we ask that you would be with the ordinary people, no matter what country they're in, Father, that they would know your protection. Father, we pray that your hand would be over all of those situations and that man would not be the dictator, but Lord, you would be the guide and the potter that makes something better of all of those things. Father, we do pray for those ordinary people and families who are going without power, without heating, without water, without contact. And Lord, we ask that you would restore those things. Father, we pray for those who in freezing cold conditions are suffering at the moment. And Lord, for those in the southern hemisphere who are really struggling with the heat and with fire and with devastation in those situations. Lord, we can't do much, Father, but we ask that you would use us, whatever we can do, and that you would accept our prayers for everyone, Lord, not just for Christians, but for everyone in those situations. You so love the world. And Father, we do consider those closer to home. Lord, we pray for many people in our own congregation who are hospitalized. Father, for family as well. Lord, we pray for Andy and Fiona. Lord, we pray for Patricia. And Lord, we ask that you would work and bless in that situation. Father, we pray for Erfan. Give him your peace, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the many people who are in our notes, Lord, that are in hospital at the moment. And we would like to see them back here. Lord, we would love to see Roy back here. And we ask that you would continue to heal and to bless and strengthen him. And be with Mona too. And Lord, for those that we don't have permission to name, Lord, we pray that you would work in their situations. Lord, for those who need strengthening and lifting up. And Lord, for those who need to be emotionally strong and lifted up. Father, we pray that you would hear our prayers. Lord, we bring them to you. And Lord, we thank you. We know that you act, Lord, that you have your hand in so many situations that we don't even know about. Lord, we thank you for your blessing and for your wonderful gifts that you give us day in and day out, and your mercy and your grace that are new every morning, and that you forgive us when we forget to do things. You forgive us when we fail people. Lord, we pray that they would be able to forgive us too. So Lord, we thank you and we bless you for all that you are doing in our lives. Amen. I didn't say at the beginning, did I? If anyone can switch their phone off, that would be great. There's always one. They should know that you are here in the church. Just before Ricky comes to speak to us, Nathan remembered that he had a family event, so he was further afield yesterday evening, and Ricky stepped in. So Ricky is going to speak a standalone sermon about "My Grace is Sufficient for You." So let's stand and sing about that amazing grace and that it takes our chains away. Thank you. helping us.
There we go. Amen. For those who are expecting a younger, better looking person to be up here today, I have to give you my apologies. So I'm stepping in, all right? But we're just going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father God, that we're just broken vessels to bring your word of hope, Lord. And we thank you that we come from the title that your grace is sufficient for us. So Lord, we just give you praise, we give you honor, and we just say thank you so much that your grace is available to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a couple of notices quickly. One of them is from Nathan, and on the 27th of January, which is a Tuesday, is asking if all house group leaders could meet here for a meeting at 7:30. That's at 7:30 on Tuesday, the 27th of January. So if you run a house group, Nathan's asking if you can meet here at 7:30 for a meeting. The other one is the Youth Alpha course is starting next Wednesday at 6:00. So if you've got any of your young people or children or nieces or nephews or anyone you can think of that you think might benefit from the Youth Alpha course, please bring them along on Wednesday at 6:00. We're even going to feed them for you as well. So for the next 8 weeks, you ain't got a cook. I mean, that's a bonus in itself, isn't it, for the parents, you know? No cooking, you know. So if you want to bring them along, they've got to be in year 7 and above. But yeah, me and the team, and we've got a few other churches involved in as well this year around as well. So we're combining together for that. Amen? Amen. So God's grace is sufficient for us. So we hear many people say, but by the grace of God, go I. I like that terminology, but it used to annoy me when I'd say to someone in a meeting, I'll see you in the other room in 10 minutes, by God's grace. I'm like, what's going to happen just in 10 minutes that you're just going to cross over here? Come on. You know, or you see your friend, I'm going to meet you at 8:00 at a restaurant, by God's grace. Let's just work something out here first. Are you going to attempt to be there by 8? It will be God's grace that will bring you there, but are you still going to actually attempt to be there at 8:00? And they say, by God's grace. I think some people use that because they like being late. And then they say, well, God's grace still got me here, didn't it? But just not on time. But God's grace is sufficient for us. We need God's grace in every situation. In every situation. In the good, in the bad, and in the ugly. We need God's grace in our lives. And I'm going to start off reading a scripture in 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 7-9 and looking at Paul when he wanted those thorns removed from his flesh. And it says from 7, or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore in order to keep me from coming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So when we look at this scripture in the book of Corinthians, we see that Paul had asked God, not once, a bit like your child, not twice, 3 times for these thorns to be removed from him. And I think he was hoping for a different reply. I think he was hoping for, like, your kid would wait all that time and keep going on, because in the end you say, oh, go on then. And I think he was waiting for God to say, do you know what? I'm going to remove them for you. But he didn't. He just said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. And it's made perfect in weakness. It was a realization in that moment for Paul that he would have to rely on God's grace for those thorns. Paul did not want the thorns in his flesh Otherwise, he would never have pleaded with God to remove them. It wasn't like he was enjoying the thorns and he was saying, God, I could take a few more for you if you want. He was saying to God, God, remove these thorns from me. But God's grace was sufficient for him. And it's quite ironic that he was relying on God's grace for them to be removed from him and ends up relying on God's grace as they stuck with him. And sometimes we've got things in our life that God won't remove because it keeps us in a place where he needs us to remain and to be. And that's when he says, my grace is sufficient. It's quite funny when people talk about Paul's thorns. Scholars and other people want to find out what were the thorns that Paul had in his flesh. I think some of us want to know because we want to relate to him a bit more. You know, Paul says a statement that I love. I'm the chief of all sinners. Which I don't mind that when Paul says that. Because when I get to heaven, I say, look, he said he was the chief. I'm coming in second. You know. It's in the Bible. Paul said he was the chief. But we've come to that point where we were, what were those thorns? And then God laid an impression on my heart when I was thinking, even in my mind, Lord, what were the thorns? And he said, would you like your thorns to be displayed to millions of people? Would you like your thorns to be seen by people across the world and across the globe? And he said it was between me and Paul. We knew what the thorns were, and he knew what my grace was covering. And that's all that anybody needed to know. And I said, Lord, yes, your grace is sufficient for me too, because I don't want anybody to know about the thorns that you've forgiven me of, and the stuff in the closet that you've forgiven me of as well. And I really loved that. How God amazing that he covered him and didn't expose his thorns for people to see and know. But because we're human, we just want to find out what were the thorns so we can relate to them. You know, me and Paul, yeah, we're one of a kind. He's got the same thorn as me. But all our thorns are different. God knows your thorns, and you know the grace that's covering them. And that's his grace. And I just find it incredible, and it blows my mind every time. But Paul had to come to the place of accepting the thorns, accepting God's grace, accepting that God weren't going to remove them. What a place to come to. What a place to come to. And yet this same man said, I have finished my race. And a man that can still come to say, Lord, I would rather be with you, but if I've got to stick around to keep sharing the gospel for these Gentiles, and us lot here as well, you know, the future of that realization of what Paul did, then that's okay. Paul was still willing to do what God wanted him to do. The thorns didn't cause Paul to run from God. The thorns caused Paul to run to God. And we have to run to him, not from him, when we're looking for his grace, because his grace will always be available to us. Amen? So the thorns in Paul had a purpose for his life, a purpose to keep him grounded. Some people think that God's grace is available to use whenever they want, and almost in one way, dare I say, abuse it. But in Romans 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that my grace abounds? It says, God forbid. And it says it again in the verse 15. What then shall we say? We sin because we're not under the law. We sin because we're not under the law, but under grace. So because I'm under grace, I can sin. I'm under grace. I'm going to sin. But then it says, God forbid. So God's grace is not there with the wrong heart to say, because I've got it, I'm just going to tap into it and do whatever I want. That's not God's grace. That's not what it's for. You know, I was telling a story to the youth, funny enough. And one day, I was on a train from, I don't know if you know, Abbeywood. and I was heading to Charing Cross. And in that journey, it's good I've got no youth in today, so I could be a little bit more open. You know, they've got to know that I'm a nice guy, you see. All right? I had something on me on this train journey that I should not have had. And I was about to go and deliver it. And then, funny enough, go to work because I worked in Leicester Square. My friend gets on. Not seen him for a while, and he gets on at Woodage Arsenal, dressed in British Transport Police uniform. Sees me, I'm trying to do the whole avoiding. Ricky! I'm like, come on. I didn't know God, but I knew I was going to be in trouble. So he sits opposite me, and we start chatting. And in my mind, I'm going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, this is the moment I'm going to get arrested by a plumber who knows me. How embarrassing. It could at least be by somebody who don't know who I am, you know. But by somebody that's sitting next to me, and I was thinking, oh my gosh. And if you know the journey from Woolwich Arsenal to Charing Cross, it ain't a quick journey. It stops everywhere. So I'm thinking, please let this guy get off. And thank God, I think he got off at like Cheltenham or Greenwich, somewhere like that. So when I got to Charing Cross, I was like, come on! Yes! I got away with it. I did it. I got away with it. And then I rung up my friend to let them know what happened. I was like, you wouldn't believe it. Stuart was on the train, dressed in BTP clothing. And I got away with it, boys. And they're like, come on. That's not the mentality we have when it comes to God's grace. That, come on, I've got away with it because I've got God's grace. We do not get away with anything. We don't. God knows and sees everything. And he knows our heart. He knows what's inside of here. And he knows the reason you're coming to his throne room of confidence for grace, or whether you're just coming because I've got it anyway and I'm going to use it and do whatever I want. That's not what his grace is for, church. It's for a place of repentance, or a place of, Lord, I'm in a situation, I need you to get me out. That's the grace we're talking about. Don't get me wrong, I've dropped the ball and I didn't like it, and I've come into a place of amazement that I have the grace of God in my life. It should blow our mind. You see, the more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you fall in love with God, the less you want to keep running to the throne room of grace, because you want to do what's right. You won't always do what's right, but the more you fall in love with him. I told a friend of mine, we was at a funeral on Thursday, and some of the church was there, and it was a funeral of grace. Trust me. God's grace was oozing from this funeral because of where he was and what happened. And I said to him one day, he said, Ricky, he said, I love Christianity, but the people, he said, they get on my nerves a little bit. And I stopped him. I said, John, listen, the more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you're going to fall in love with his people, the more you're going to fall in love with doing what you want to do for them and being graceful towards them and doing what's right. And he did. The more he fed in love, the more he wanted to serve, and the more he wanted to get things right. So let's keep falling in love with Jesus. Let's keep going to the throne room. And in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us approach God's throne of grace with what? Confidence. Confidence in knowing who you are in Jesus. Confidence of knowing who you are in Christ. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in what? In our time of need. In a time of need. Not in time of I'm going to do what I want. In a time of need. Amen? So God's grace abounds and it overflows. And it's incredible. And incredible that you can walk in. Because of what Jesus did on a cross, you can walk into the throne room of God with confidence. Not because of who you are, because of what he did and who he is in our life. I just think it's incredible. So if we're using grace for that reason, have some reflection time with Jesus and have a look at that relationship. And humble our hearts to receive that grace. The Bible tells us that if you fear God, it's the beginning of wisdom. Church, God requires reverence. He requires reverence. He is the God Almighty. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we go with reverence. And that reverence gives us wisdom. And its grace abounds from it. So grace is in everything. I better make sure I turn the right page this time. I did that the other day. See, look. There we go. We need grace in everything. I just want to share a story that I've shared with a couple of people. So grace ain't just about sin. And I remember when I got this job and I got the phone call to receive this job, I was on the phone to our lovely Richard. I told you, anyone got any issues, see Richard. He's the one that called me up and told me. No, I'm just kidding. Don't. He's all right. Just don't. But on a serious note, Richard, he didn't have a clue, obviously, at the time. But he rings me up and says, Ricky, you've got the job. But do you know, in that moment, my wife was next to me miscarriaging for the third time. In that moment, Jade was beside me miscarriaging for the third time the day I received that phone call. So I've got a phone call of joy, but yet I've got pain sitting right beside me. And in that moment, God's grace was sufficient. And I needed the grace of God to overflow my life. I needed it. Half of me wanted to jump up and say, praise the Lord. And half of me was like, Lord, what's going on? But that is the grace of God. And in those moments, you need it in your life. You need it. You need it in those places of heartbreak. Lord, I can only get through this by your grace because my heart is broken, Lord. But only by your grace can I get through it. You're going to need grace in our marriages. Marriages are hard work. You need grace in them. We have to show each other grace. Grace. I was having a serious moment, guys. Yeah, no, I'm joking. But do you understand what I mean? We need grace in our businesses. We need grace in our heartbreaks. We need grace in our marriages. And we need it. Grace in our relationships with each other, in our families. And yeah, and I was going to expand on marriage, but they're making me laugh. And in the marriage, if you don't share grace in those places, they won't last. Because you are stuck with someone for a very long time. Trust me, Jay don't realize it, but she exercises grace every day for me. Every day. We need that grace in all of these things. Grace is so overflowing in our lives, and it's the evidence that Jesus is in our life, and that grace should overflow into other people's. It has to. It's an overflow. You can't help it. I don't want to give you grace, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because I know Jesus is in me. The Holy Spirit is living within me, and I can't afford not to give you grace. And we have to let that grace come out in all of our relationships with each other, with the leaderships, with all people running stuff. We need grace in these moments. Grace when I'm putting up a tent at camp. You need to give me grace. I have no clue. I've been twice. I still have no clue. You know when you open something and it's on the floor and you just look? Then you do puppy eyes to someone who can do, which is Tell. Well, you know, if he's in here today, he's up there. Tell, and oh, someone like that, help me out. I ain't got a clue. Someone help me out. And then, you know, occasionally you have to do the, you've passed a bit. Should the pastor be putting up a tent? I don't think so. Should be something. Really, I just can't put up a tent, you know. That's the reality of it. You know. Church, let's remember, salvation itself came from grace. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Only God can boast in the grace that he gives out to us all. Imagine if God didn't have grace, there'd be no salvation. Can you imagine that for a moment? Someone says, no, thank you. I'm the same. No, thank you. I don't want to imagine for a minute. But if not for the grace of God, salvation itself would not be available to us all today across the globe. You know, salvation right now is being received probably by thousands this morning for people coming in to know God, coming into the kingdom of God. And his grace refuses zero of those people. Zero. It's incredible when you really think about it. But his grace is the reason for our salvation. So church, as we go forward with this grace, and whatever you need it for right now, go to the throne room confidently and receive this grace in your life. I know where I'm at. I know where I need this grace. And it keeps popping up for me every single time. It's there. As you dare I say, some people say on tap for those who need it. So whatever that situation is, and for whatever reason you need this grace, church, let's not go out of this building without it. Ask God to give you this grace. And he will give it to you. I'm going to pray in a minute for us all. And just let God minister to you. Say, Lord, let your grace be in my life. Lord, let your grace cover me. Lord, let this grace mend my broken heart. Lord, let this grace be evident in my marriage. Lord, let this grace be evident in my workplace. Lord, let this grace shine through me because of the grace of God that's been placed in me. So let's just pray for a moment and allow God to minister to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, it is by grace that we've been set free. It's your grace that overflows in our lives, Lord. Father, we can't operate in our lives without this grace being evident in it. We are so blessed to have a God who is so desperate for a relationship with us, that he sent his only son and sent grace to live among us. He sent grace to die for us, and grace rose again. And because of what Jesus did, we can come into your throne room with confidence, Lord. I just pray you heal those hearts, Lord. Those thorns that Paul had in his flesh, those of us that have thorns, Lord, that we know that are in our flesh, Lord, let your grace be sufficient for each and every one of us. Because you are great. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the name above every single name. And we worship you this morning. And we give you glory. We give you honor. And let us be a people that show grace for those around us. Show grace to each other. We're in a building with many personalities. We're in a building with many different backgrounds. We're in a building with many different cultures. But this is what heaven is going to look like. But until we get to that place, let our grace abound to each other. And let our love be shining towards each other. And if we get it wrong, we'll come together and work it out. But Father, we just say thank you in Jesus' name as we call up the worship team to do the last song. And as they bring that last song, let God just continue to minister to you about his grace. I mean, I wouldn't do justice if I wasn't here and ask if there was anybody that's here for the first time that doesn't know Jesus and you want to give your life to the Lord, come and see us. We're here for you. We'll pray with you and for you. I know it can be a little bit like this sometimes when you're here for the first time. And for those who might need prayer, we have our prayer team. And you need prayer. So I just need prayer in this situation. I need someone to help me and to cover me in prayer. Our prayer team will always be available in the prayer corner. So I'm going to hand over to the worship team. Amen.
Father, we praise and worship you this morning. We trust in your goodness and your grace. Lord, we know that we are broken pots and you mend us with gold. And Lord, you put your treasure within. Father, we pray that you would continue to disciple us in our lives here in this place. Lord, that you would make us overflow with your grace and your mercy and love for all those whose lives we can touch. And Father, we pray that those who come into this place would hear from you. Lord, that they would come to know you. And Father, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Do stay for your teas and coffees through in the lounge, and spread back if you need to. Spread back into here. Oh, let's do Blessed Be. Blessed Be. Why not? Blessed Be, woman.